We've been in this incredible series, Unbelievable, and we've been exploring this series since Easter, and it's been a great series. One of my takeaways was the one that Kurt did a couple weeks ago, where he mentioned he put a clip of this preacher saying, "The man in the middle told me." I mean, that wrecked me that entire week. I don't know if that was your case, but it really messed me up in a really good way. And we are continuing this week with that series regarding the incredible truth that God is able. And we've talked about his power to save. We've talked about his power to forgive, his ability to transform. And today we are going to be talking about his ability and powerful life-altering aspect of God, that God is able to heal. Now say it with me. God is able to heal. All right, let me see this side here. God is able to heal. God is able to heal. God is able to heal. And God is able to heal. Now, in a thunderous voice, let's say, God is able to heal. There we go. Now we're cooking. Now, I want to start with this question with everybody. Have you ever tried looking up your symptoms on WebMD? Yeah, I've done that, and in all honesty, it should be called youhave6monthstolive.com. That's what it should be called, really. But I know that for some of us, when we talk about that theme, that God is able, it immediately stirs up emotion, certain feelings, because we've been there. We've been there. It's been 2 a.m. in the morning on our backs, looking at the ceiling, our heart is hammering, scrolling through social media, looking at the perfect bodies, the people that really work out, the people that only eat kale, you know, just healthy people, you know, and then you're immediately reminded of your own imperfect reality. You look at yourself, you feel the pain, you feel the anxiety, your imperfect reality, and there's that question that burns in the dark. God, if you can heal, if you are able, why not now for me? Why not right now? But what if this morning is the last time that you ask that question? Now, I do want to say a quick disclaimer. Today, I'm going to try to not contain myself, and I apologize if my Pentecostal background starts showing up, because it's going to be hard. It's going to be very difficult, and it's going to sound coachy, and it's going to be sounding like a bit cheerleady at times, but just bear with me. We're going to get through it. It's going to be great. It's going to be fine. And I say this because we've all been there. We've all shared this experience, and it's maybe been in a waiting room. Maybe it's been at a doctor's office, at a lawyer's office. It could be maybe sitting across someone you love, someone you care about, watching that relationship just bleed out right in front of you. And all while you're holding your breath and you're holding back your tears, whispering under your breath and saying, "Jesus, if you're real, if you are able, I need you today, please." And sometimes the only answer that you really get is just silence. Because we all know someone. Maybe it's that friend that you see walk in at work, and you know that person is doing everything that person can to just hold the anxiety at bay. And you know that every day she or he battles that crippling anxiety. But the moment they walk in through the door, they try to put that wall. They've tried everything. But that voice that whispers in their ears and saying, "Hey, you are worthless," is the voice that they fight every day and they just won't stop. Can God heal that? Or maybe it's that couple that used to dream together, build together, face the world together and say, "This is my ride or die chick. This is my guy. This is my woman. We are heading forward." And now they're sharing the same address but feeling like roommates. They've caught in a cycle of hurt, wondering if for better or for worse just became for worse forever. Is God able to heal a broken marriage? Or maybe it's that neighbor with that chronic illness or that chronic pain, and you see the pain etched in their face, and they're wondering, their weariness in their voice, and they pray. Oh, and you pray for them in the middle of the night, but the miracle just seems delayed. Is God still able to do the miraculous today? We live in a world that lives by this thing. It's like we've become professionals at deferred hope. And we see things like, we say to ourselves, it'll get better when the finances get better, or the debt is paid, or that relationship is fixed. It'll get better when that diagnosis gets changed, or when or it'll get better when the kids finally turn out differently. We're experts at pushing joy, at pushing peace, at pushing healing at this distant future to someone else, and we become professional altruists when it comes to healing, and we say, maybe I don't deserve that healing. Maybe that healing is meant for someone else. That's that deferred hope, deferred healing. But what about if today is about you walking up out of here knowing with every fiber of your being that God is able to heal? And not just in the Bible stories, but here and now. What if today is that day? What if today is the last day that we stop living off of someone else's testimony and we have a testimony of our own? And we could say, if God did it for him, he also did it for me, and I have a testimony for myself. Can I get an amen? I'm getting warmed up. I'm starting. I feel it. It's already brewing inside of me. Today could be that last day. That is our purpose this morning. That is what we're trying to aim at, so that instead of asking, when will it happen to me, we can testify and say, it happened to me, and we can say, testify. See, you don't know about this church. I used to go to a Kojic church. We know Kojic churches. I mean, every time they would say testify, everyone would just say testify, because God did something for that person. So we're going to have our own personal testimony. And my question is, if that's a future that you want to step in, say yes. Okay, three people. If that's a future that you want to step in, say yes. Come on, let's say yes. We are moving. We are cooking with gas. Let's get to work exploring this incredible ability of our God. Are you ready for heaven to break in? Yes. Thank you. We're going. We're moving. So this is the thing. Before there was a single demon cast out of Capernaum, before any single blind person saw the light on the Galilean road, before Peter smelled like cured fish after meeting Jesus, before all that, Jesus walked in his hometown synagogue. He walked in, he unrolled the scroll of prophet Isaiah, and he detonated a declaration. A declaration that still pierces through your anxiety. A declaration that still pierces through your debt, your doctor's report, every broken place in this room. I want you to hear it fresh, like it's being read over your life right now. You can read with me in Luke 4, 18 to 19, and it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Now, he wasn't reciting poetry for the sake of tradition. He wasn't just giving nice thoughts for the day, or thinking, you know, this is going to really look good on my Facebook post with a nice, you know, little border, and it's going to look nice on my Facebook feed or whatever. He was serving eviction papers to darkness, despair, and disease. That's what he was doing. with that declaration. He was basically saying, hey, listen, I know that you've been Googling your disease symptoms online. I know that you've been asking ChatGPT, like, you know, what is this thing I have in my body? He knows that you've been asking the question, and he is basically saying, I got the real diagnosis, and I have the real cure for your life. That's what he's saying. But let's get painfully honest here. Let's get painfully specific. Let's see where this declaration hits you today. That first line says it's good news to the poor. So if your wallet feels lighter than your hope, if stress about bills is a constant knot in your stomach, that first line was for you. If doctors speak Where am I? See, it says devil is a lie. That first line was for you. Jesus sees your lack and he declares good news over your situation. He says freedom for prisoners. If you lie awake at 3 a.m. just kind of going, replaying over and over that secret failure on the loop. To you chained from guilt from yesterday or the fear of tomorrow. To you that feel trapped by a habit you cannot break. That second line was for you. Jesus declares you free. He says recovery of sight for the blind. Maybe you can see physically, but maybe you cannot see. Maybe you're blind to a future that's worth picturing. Blind by depression, by a prognosis, by shame, by a betrayal. You can't see a way forward, and that third line was for you. Jesus declares sight, a new vision for your life. He also says release for the oppressed. This is the person who's wrapped in that addiction, suffocating under the relentless anxiety, crushed by the injustice, or just plain down by the weight of life. If that's you, that fourth line was for you. Jesus declares release, liberation, and freedom from that crush. He also says to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The favor, if your life has just felt like a long winter and you've forgotten what favor even tastes like, then that last line was for you. Jesus declares a season of favor for you. He says it's a time for debts to be canceled. He says to captives to be freed, for life to flourish once more in your life. Now, I want you to understand this is an ancient history. This is a story. This is your story. This is your story being rewritten. And I want to ask, who needs this declaration over their life today? Who needs this declaration in their life today? Let's see if there's honest people here. Who needs this declaration in their life today? Like, we all need this declaration detonated in our life today. So right now, in this moment, Jesus is rereading that scroll one more time. But this time, your name is pencil scrawled in the margin. So if you open your banking app this morning and your heart just sank, that first line was for you. If guilt taps you in the shoulder every time you smile, that second line was for you. If doctors speak in numbers you don't understand, that third line was for you. If anxiety cripples your chest and you feel that you cannot breathe, that fourth line was for you. If life has felt like it has you stuck in one long winter, that last line was for you. And I want you to understand the scale of this. This isn't just a spiritual comfort food. This is the same voice. This is the same voice that told the ocean where to stop. That's that same voice that called the galaxies into existence. That voice has declared your liberation. Now, that's a shouting moment there. Like, that voice declared your freedom and your liberation. Heaven isn't waiting for you to clean up your act. Heaven is not waiting for you to earn enough points. Heaven is not waiting for you to have enough faith. He has declared it. Heaven already lit the fuse. He pulled the pin from the grenade. The rescue has been declared, and all you have to do is step into it. It's already been declared. It's already been done. It's already been said. All we need to do is believe and step into it. Now, I don't know if you could feel it. Like, we start talking about what Jesus has declared, and there's a sense of the ground shifting. Maybe the chains you brought in this morning are starting to rattle. Maybe regret is sweating under the spotlight of truth. That is the power of that declaration. Heaven has declared a full frontal attack on your dis-ease, and the rescue is underway. We here? That was just the introduction. Heaven has declared a full frontal attack on your dis-ease. Now, having heard that declaration from Jesus, having heard what he has said from King Jesus, if you believe that this rescue is for you today, if you believe that this rescue is for a loved one, if you believe that this rescue is a situationship in your life, say, it's for me. It's for me. Don't say it's for them. Say, it's for me. Can you say it's for me? It's for me. It is for me. He read that thinking of you in mind. And that's powerful. That's the sound of faith engaging heaven's decree. Now let's talk about how. Let's talk about how that rescue actually starts showing up in real time. Even while we're still feeling this tension. Jesus didn't stop just announcing the rescue from a squirrel. He gave us the key. He gave us the points to kind of live this out. He didn't keep this rescue mission to himself. He delegated it to ordinary people like you and like me. Luke 9, 1 through 2 says, he called the 12 and gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And then later the Apostle Paul explains how that kingdom power isn't kind of locked away in this historical book. It's not a relic. No, it resides in you today. And he says it like this in Romans: if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. Now, this isn't just beautiful theology, Pearland Vineyard. This is kingdom policy. This means that the king has come. This means that the rescue is underway. And guess what? You've been deputized. You've been ordained to move. You have been given the power and the authority. It's amazing to me how many of us go through life not knowing that we are armed and dangerous. So look at your neighbor and just tell them, just kind of wake them up, slap them if you need to, and tell them, hey, listen, I am armed and dangerous. You don't even know me. As soon as I wake up, as soon as I kind of tap into this, I'm locked and loaded. You don't even know what I'm capable of because I have the power and I have the authority. But here's where the rubber for us, here's where the rubber meets the road for many of us. If we have the Spirit and if we have the authority and if the King has truly arrived, why isn't everything just instantly perfect? Why do we still have pain? Why do we still struggle? This leads us to this beautiful, sometimes brutal tension of the kingdom of God. It is both now, and it is also not yet. I want you to think about, let me see if I could put this in a practical sense. I want you to think about the TMC, the Texas Medical Center, just down the road in Houston. And it's a place of incredible healing, right? Incredible healing. A lot of good things are happening. On one floor, you can see the now happening. You could see that patient being discharged. You can see that fever being broken. You can see that hopeful prognosis that justified the odds. That's kingdom breaking in. That's the now of the kingdom. That is God's power moving in, bringing tangible relief, real change. But on another floor, the construction continues. On that floor, the beeping of machines, the hushed conversations, the lingering pain continues. That's the not yet. The fullness of God's kingdom has not fully eradicated all suffering. And now that isn't necessarily a contradiction. It is just the very nature of how God's kingdom actually is unfolding. Now, Jesus the King did burst into the scene, and he brought his kingdom with him. But the full glory, where every tear is wiped away, when the death is swallowed up forever, as Paul says, that is still on its way. That is still on its way. That is still coming. We live in that overlap. We live in that tension, experiencing the powerful now, while we are still awaiting the not full, not yet. When we look at someone who is, for all those moms who understand this concept a little bit better, when you're 9 months pregnant, the question is the baby here? Is the baby here? Is the baby here? Yes. Yes and no. That's that tension. He's here now, but not yet fully. That is the tension, probably in the best explanation I can give about the kingdom of God. It's here, but not fully. We are waiting that full consummation of the kingdom of God. And we've all experienced this already right now. We've experienced glimpses of it, and we've tasted it. And this is just not theory. This is your story as well. Think about those moments where you prayed for something seemingly impossible, and God intervened. Maybe that unexpected bonus check, and you go in the mail, and you say, oh, the IRS owed me some money. Look at that. Look at that. That is the now kingdom. That sudden peace that washed over you when you were feeling a full-blown panic attack, that conversation with your spouse that finally broke after many, many weeks of cold silence, these are not just lucky breaks. These are tangible tastes of the kingdom's power breaking into your reality right now. These are the king's fingerprints in your own life. Also, look at how you changed. Look at the change that you've done. Look at the change of habits that you've broken, the freedom from sin that you found, maybe the growth that you see in yourself year by year. That's the now of the kingdom transforming your life from the inside out. His reign is personal, present, and powerful. But then we look around and we look within and we confront the not yet. The chronic illness that still persists even after fervent prayer. That mental health struggle that still feels overwhelming even on the good days. That broken relationship that hasn't fully healed yet. The injustices that still plague our nation, our states, our cities, our neighborhoods, and even in your own home. This is what Paul says, and this is how he frames it. He says, and not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoptions as sons, the redemption of our bodies. We have the first fruits. We've tasted the kingdom now, but we still groan. We still have pain. And this not yet can be very frustrating. It can lead us to question God's power, His love, and His very presence. But the Bible is honest about this tension. It acknowledges that we are in a battle. We are in a fight. We are in a tension that even though the king has already won the war, there are still tensions that need to be held here. So how do we live in this overlap? How do we make life? How do we make sense of what we're doing? How do we live in this overlap, the construction zone of the kingdom? How do we do this? How do we thrive when the king's rule is now but not yet fully done? How do we do this? This is your battle plan. Take notes. We celebrate the now victories. We acknowledge and give thanks to God for every glimpse of the kingdom's power. Did you wake up with that familiar dread this morning? That is the declaration at work. Did you find patience when you expected to lose it when you were sitting on the 45 freeway this morning? That's the power at work. That's a kingdom moment. Did someone text you out of the blue, giving you an encouraging word, telling you to not give up, telling you that you will make it, reminding you that who you are, reminding you that you are the head and not the tail? That's a kingdom moment. Jot it down. Keep a journal. God is still speaking this week. His restoration is still at work. These are not small things. These are kingdom breadcrumbs, and your faith is being built for the not yet. Another point. Yeah. Another point is contend for the not yet breakthroughs. Contend for it. Don't make the not yet your zip code. That's a Facebook post right there. Do not make the not yet your zip code. I'm throwing out nuggets. Let's see if he... Contend for the not yet breakthroughs. Do not let the not yet lead to your resignation. You've seen this many times as well, that we know that people are so close to their breakthrough, so close to their healing, and they give up right at the margin. Contend for the not yet breakthroughs. Do not get comfortable in the construction zone. We are not settling. Absolutely no way. Continue to pray boldly, seek God's will, stand in faith, because the complete healing and restoration will come. Don't whisper. It's moments where we contend for the not yet. We contend is where we continue to believe in faith and we continue to say, my King is able to heal. He continues to heal. And lastly, be agents of the now for others. Be agents of the now. You can be an agent of the now for others. Even as you wait for your full breakthrough, be a conduit for God's power in someone else's life. Maybe offer that encouraging word. Maybe do a practical act of service. Maybe pray for that person. Be there for that person. And I already hear you. But what if I pray and nothing happens? Or worse, what if I pray and the person gets worse? It's happened. Happened to me at least. What if I pray and nothing happens? And I'll say like this, so we can understand this practical nature of the kingdom. And I know I will speak to maybe 95% of the people here. How many of you guys order Amazon packages? Right? So you place an order, and if you have Prime, you expect the delivery to be delivered in about 2 days. You have Prime, right? So what you do is, like, you place the order, right? And then you say it's going to arrive in 2 days. Right, cool. So then it's 2 days, and it doesn't arrive. The app says it's delayed. What do? Like a sane person that you are. You wait, right? It's like, okay, well, it'll be here tomorrow. It's been delayed for a day. It's fine. And then you open up the app on the third day, and it says, we're sorry. We are unable to deliver your package at this moment. So sorry for the inconvenience. What do we do as people that buy things on Amazon when we read that? We're like, man, that sucks. What do? We order it again. Right? Why can't we do that in prayer? It's like, oh man, you know, it's like, you prayed for me. I didn't get healed. Like, man, I don't know what that means. Let's do it again. Let's pray again. Let's pray until something happens. Let's believe until something happens. This is the truth. Kingdom delays are not kingdom denials. With hopeful expectation, we are emphasizing our role in the kingdom. This is the tension where the faith muscle is building up. This is the moment where the faith muscle is growing. And it's not a sign that you've missed it. If you don't see your sign, if you don't see your miracle, if you don't see your healing, it is not a sign that you missed it. It is just proof that you're actually on kingdom ground. It is proof that you are in kingdom zone. So every small victory point to the great victory to come, it still counts. Every small step. Now my final question is how? How do we access that power in our everyday lives? How do we do this? Everything we've seen so far, the cosmic rescue by Jesus, the kingdom breaking in with power, even in the tension of the now and the not yet, it all culminates and it all rests on the absolute weight and authority of the name of Jesus. And I fair warning, my Pentecostal will show. It will pop up. When heaven invaded earth, it wasn't just through his words or his works, but through his name. Listen what Paul says. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, Jesus, and given him, Jesus, the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Listen, let me make this plain. Let me just make this as plain as possible. Every disease has a name. Cancer has a name. Diabetes has a name. Arthritis has a name. Heart disease has a name. Every mental battle that you're struggling has a name. Depression has a name. Anxiety has a name. Panic disorder has a name. PTSD has disorder. Every emotional wound that you're going through has a name. Bitterness has a name. Grief has a name. Shame has a name. Unforgiveness has a name. Every life problem has a name. Debt has a name. Addiction has a name. Loneliness has a name. Marital strife has a name. Hopelessness has a name. You see, the enemy loves to name you by your condition. I will say that again for the people in the back. The enemy loves to name you by your disease, by your condition. He loves to call you by your problem. He wants you to identify, oh, look, there goes the one with the chronic pain. Oh, look, there goes the one that always gives up. Oh, look, there's the one that's going to give up next week. That's the name he calls you by. He wants you to believe that the name of your struggle has the final authority over you. But the passage... This is what my black brothers would say, but the Bible says. The passage we just read doesn't say that God gave Jesus a name. The passage we just read, it says that he gave him the name that is above every name. Think about what that means for your life. It means that the name of Jesus is above the name of cancer. It means that the name of Jesus is above the name of depression. It means that the name of Jesus is above of the name of addiction. It means that the name of Jesus is above the name of crushing fear. It means that the name of Jesus is above the name of that nagging shame or anxiety. It is above. It means that the name of Jesus is above whatever problem, disease, or spiritual attack that's trying to name you and claim you. The name of Jesus is not a holy punctuation. It's not an exclamation mark. It is not a cuss word. The name of Jesus is power. I mentioned that I used to go to this Akojic church. It's a Black American, African American church. And man, every time they would say there is power in the name. I mean, this is where stuff starts shifting. Because it doesn't matter what we might be going through. As soon as we heard that phrase, there is power in the name. So let me see if it works with us. I want to wake up your inner Baptist, your inner Pentecostal, your inner fire. And I want to say, there is power in the name. Now, say it with me. There is power in the name. There is power in the name of Jesus, and we have it now. He declared it over us. It's not a sentimental sign-off. It is the royal warrant of heaven stamped with the king's seal. It carries the full weight of his victory. That name, his power, his finished work on the cross, the authority over every single name you could ever list. That name, from the smallest worry to the most terrifying diagnosis. Think about it. I want you to think about this story for a minute. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are going to church. It's a story in Acts 3. Peter and John are going to the church. They're coming to Pearland Vineyard. And on their way in, they encounter someone who's on the road. And he doesn't have a name. His name was the lame from birth. That was his name. That's what people called him. His condition was lame from birth, but Peter didn't say, hey, listen, man, let's try to pray to see if you get better. Let's just, you know, let's get together, let's hold hands, and let's see if you get better. He looked him in the eye and commanded him, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise and walk. In the name. He spoke the name above the name that was lame from birth. And that man leaped to his feet. That cosmic authority unleashed through human speech, the authority over names that try to define that name did that miracle. It's not abracadabra. You don't need a magic wand. You don't need a top hat or rabbit. You just need the name that makes hell hit the panic button. And fam, you don't need a microphone. You don't need a title. You don't need a seminary degree to wield this name. None of that. You in your cubicle, in your kitchen, in your car, in your midnight prayer, you have been given access to cry out heaven's decree. You've experienced it. Remember that last time you had that panic attack that almost crushed your lungs and you almost instinctively said and wheezed out one word and you said, Jesus, and felt the air come back. That was the name at work. Remember that facing that toxic relationship, feeling trapped, and finally having mustered the strength and courage to say, by Jesus' name, I refuse to carry this bitterness anymore. And something shifted inside of you. Chain snapped. That was the name. Or maybe that single parent praying over that restless child, that sick child, having feel like it was hopeless and it was no more remedies, laying her hands on her child's forehead, whispering, Jesus, bring your peace and bring your healing here to my child. And peace didn't just visit, healing didn't just visit, it moved in and tucked the child to sleep and healed him. That was the name at work. We need to train our spirit to align with this kingdom reality by making his name our default. Maybe it's in the morning when you step out of bed and you said, Jesus, order my steps today. Maybe it's that afternoon stress spike where you breathe and you say, Jesus, you know this coworker, I'm about to top off with this coworker. Jesus, take the wheel. Or maybe it's that late night temptation or anxiety where you say, Jesus, shut that door, silence that voice. Silence that voice. It might be a 3-second prayer, but it will have heaven level outcomes. We got to train our reflexes to fire off this name before your mind spirals into fear, into despair, before temptation tries to take root, before anxiety tries to steal your breath. When you wield this name, things happen. When you pray with his name, things happen. When you pray over your loved ones and you're praying over your mom's or your grandma's arthritis, if something happens and she feels the pain and you say, in Jesus' name, the pain is going to leave her joints. And maybe she tenses up, maybe she doesn't believe, but immediately relaxes and exhales relief because the grip loosened. Maybe it's over your community, your neighborhood. You speak, Jesus, bring peace in this community. And maybe you see tensions ease in that conversation on the block because the Prince of Peace is now present. Maybe it's over your body. You don't ask God to consider healing. Hey, Jesus, can you consider healing me? You know, if it's on your time schedule, can you like heal my body? To the headache, to the nausea, to the weakness, you say, in Jesus' name, you must bow. You must leave. These aren't one-off fireworks. They're the steady pulse of the kingdom advancing through your obedient invocation of this name. That's the same name that spoke galaxies into existence, is the same name that you can call on your weakness. That's the name that stripped hell of all its power. That's the same name that breaks the grip of addiction in your life. The name that rolled away the stone from the tomb is the same name that can roll away the stone of despair from your heart. The name. Power in the name. A couple years ago when my daughter was about 2-3 years old, she had her own room, and we had our own room as well, and Esther had already gone to work, And I was sound asleep. I was just asleep. And I could hear my daughter in the other room just cry and give out the loudest scream in her life. And all she said was, Daddy! Listen. I was flat. I levitated. I did a somersault midair. I landed like I knew kung fu. Right? I started running like there was no tomorrow. Listen, I didn't know what it was. It could have been a spider. It could have been something else. I just knew that I was out for blood and I was out to kill it. I didn't care what it was because she called on my name. What happens when you call on Daddy's name and you just say, Daddy! What happens? Things. Cancer has a name. Maybe you start feeling like, you know, this feels hopeful, but I continue pleading and saying the name over this disease, over this condition. So I want us to see if we could close with this interactive session this morning. I'm going to name a disease. And after I name the disease, you say Jesus. Because I want us to be to consider that every time we hear something that goes against what God has declared over our lives, that we can just by default say Jesus. So if I say cancer, Jesus. If I say diabetes, if I say arthritis, heart disease, every mental battle, Jesus. Come on, anxiety, Jesus. Panic disorder, Jesus. PTSD, every emotional wound, bitterness, grief, shame, unforgiveness, every life problem, debt, addiction. Don't lose strength now. Loneliness, marital strife, hopelessness, Jesus. You just declared the name of Jesus over those diseases. And maybe I didn't mention your disease. The point I'm trying to make, whatever you might be going through, it's under the name of Jesus. Did you feel that? Did you feel that? That was heaven's authority surging through your words. That's the sounds of chains crackling. That's the sound of fear evacuating the room. That is the roar of your King. The name has been declared. The name is in this place. The name is in this place. It's in this place. We've heard the declaration of rescue. We've wrestled with the tension of the kingdom, the now and the not yet. We've wielded the name that dominates over everything opposed to life. Now it's time to step into that rescue. It's time for heaven to break into your broken place. Now it's time to step in. What is broken in you today? What is? Where does the name of Jesus need to be declared in your life and unleashed in your life today? Is it your body? That pain, that illness, that diagnosis, that, you know, we're going to open up a lane. We're going to open a prayer section for you to receive prayer for that. Is it your mind? That anxiety, that depression, those tormentive, intrusive thoughts that won't leave you alone? We're also praying for that. Is it your emotions, that wound from the betrayal, that grief, that you cannot move from your past, that anger that burns you up from the inside? We're also praying for that. Is it your spirit? Maybe it's those sin patterns you cannot break. Maybe it's that addiction that has a grip in your life, that feeling that maybe you feel distant from God. We're praying for that as well. And yes, if your knees pop louder than popcorn when you walk, we're praying for that as well. That absolutely qualifies for prayer. So I'm going to call the prayer team up. We're going to start praying. We're going to pray. And as you come forward, I want you to know this, that you are not begging to a reluctant God. You're not begging. You are agreeing with the rescue that something has been declared over you by Jesus. And you are just stepping out of that waiting room onto kingdom ground. What if today is the day? Listen, and when you come forward, and maybe someone puts their hand over your shoulder, maybe the prayer won't be fancy or long. Maybe it will be short, targeted. But it will always finish the same way. In the name of Jesus, be healed. So if that's you, come forward. Come forward. If you could stand to your feet this morning. We've heard Jesus' declaration being detonated this morning. And there will be people coming forward, believing in faith that Jesus has a healing for them. Please, do not leave. If you feel that God has punctured, pierced your heart this morning, receive that prayer in Jesus' name. We're going to be praying for people, but if that's you, please come forward. You're welcome to leave after I say the blessing to go. We will linger here praying, so if you need prayer, please step in. I will ask you if you could lift your hands with me this morning. Just lift your hands where you are. And we say, Father, thank you for this declaration from Nazareth that continues to shatter darkness today. Thank you for a kingdom that demonstrates even in our Mondays, even as we await its fullness. And thank you for the name of Jesus that dominates everything opposed to life, light, and wholeness. Lord, I pray that you heal, that you seal every healing that has begun here today. Whether it's physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, water every seed of hope planted in this room today. Embolden every single believer here to carry his rescue mission, this kingdom reality, this powerful name to the next desperate heart they meet this week. Don't leave this place the same way you came in. You heard the declaration. You're stepping into the demonstration. You're wielding the name. Now we go live like it is true. Go and set the oppressed free, because what's broken in you is exactly where heaven wants to break in. So if you could just say this with me one more time. God is able to heal. Say it with me. God is able to heal. So now, go live like it is true. Blessings, family.